Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Must have had an earthquake up here. Oh, it's a little crooked. I can't preach from a crooked pulpit. You know what I mean? Okay, well, I've already received my several warnings from each of you that, you know, whenever it was time to go to lunch, you were leaving, you know. So, I'll do my best to get you out on time today. But we don't want to shortchange our wonderful theme of the day. I love the card, the Mother's Day card that says, Mom, I remember that little prayer that you used to say for me every day. And you turn it over into the inside. It says, God help you if you ever do that again. I'm sure that was prayed regularly about me on several occasions. And I don't know where I got this. It came to me from someone else, and it was anonymous to them, but I want to read a couple of little excerpts to you. Somebody says it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Isn't that right? That's right. And somebody said you learn to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a three-year-old shopping, right? Yeah. Or another one said, somebody said that that being a mother is boring, and somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a learner's permit. Am I right about that, David? You know, there's nothing like, you remember those days when you taught your kids to drive, those of you that's been through that, and those of you that have those days ahead of you to look forward to, my prayers are with you. And somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. That's because they haven't helped a fourth grader with their math yet, right? What are they teaching them these days? My goodness. It's amazing what they can do. I don't know whether you know or not, Rosemary and I had four children because we didn't want five. And that's the best way I know how to describe it. In fact, we started out, we thought it would be three, and it turned out to be four. So it took us longer to figure out what was causing them. Somebody says you can't love the third child as much as you love the first. That's somebody who doesn't have three children. That's all I know. We say all of these things, not totally in jest, moms, but we want to salute you today. I certainly want to say that I salute you today. You play a very key role among us, both in the church and in our world today. And your task is an indispensable task. So happy Mother's Day. And I want to just make mention of what I'm going to say are just some four characteristics. This is only the hem of the garment of what mothers do, but there are certainly some biblical references to these characteristics of mothers. First of all, they are protective. You all know that. I know that you've experienced it. They are dedicated. There's no one that I can think of that is more determined and dedicated to the task than a mother. And they are influential. Now, dads, we're not leaving you out. There'll be a dad's day, and one of these days we'll talk about you. But influential is a mother. And we would surely not want to leave out the idea that mothers are loyal. They have a characteristic about them that causes them to be so loyal to their children. So let's talk for just briefly, just a few minutes about protectiveness. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, certainly made her contribution both to protecting and raising her own particular son, Moses, on this particular occasion. And in his earliest years, his blessed years, he blessed even the world. And believe it or not, this child was going to bless a lot of people around or about them. And when you think about a mother's womb, just a child being on the inside of the mother before it emerges, Doug, it's a marvelous thing the way God has created the idea of how a child is brought into the world. My own mother used to tell the story about being at a baseball game when she was pregnant with me, and a line drive came by and hit her right in the stomach. That may explain a few things about me. No, but there I was in a protective environment. Isn't that right? I'm just trying to point out that God's design is always the best. And there's certainly no greater protection than when a child is in the mother and in the womb. And yet we know that when Moses is born and Jochebed has to deal with what's going on, she and her husband Amram, they are Hebrew slaves, and they're wound up down in Egypt. And I can't tell you that whole story, but you know how that eventually there was a decree that Pharaoh had issued. And the decree read that every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile. That's what he said to his army. They were to keep close watch on the pregnant women and the children that were being born down in the Hebrew nation. And they allowed them to keep the daughters alive. And yet Jochebed disobeyed Pharaoh's order by protecting Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, she became pregnant, it says, and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, Jeff, I'm going to have to ask this lady when we get there, how did she manage to do that? I mean, that couldn't have been an easy task to keep Moses hid for 3 months. That would have been something. And think about the danger of having kept Moses, how that would have influenced the whole family. I'm sure that that was a very difficult time. But she did. And she hid him. But when she could hide him no longer, and we all know that, don't we? I mean, we know when things are about to explode. Like when we have these kids up here in the front for children's worship, we know that just exactly what has to be done. And David's a master at helping keeping them active and how to handle them when things are getting in that place. And yet, it takes place. And she makes for him a wicker or a straw kind of basket to place him in. And she coats it with tar and pitch. And then she places the child in it. She puts it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. I don't know whether you know it about, but around that particular area, in the land of Goshen where the Nile is, in that fertile delta, that is the most crocodile-infested area on our planet. You can, I think, imagine what would happen to a flailing, screaming baby that was thrown into the Nile River in that particular instance or that case. And yet we're told by the Scripture that he's placed into the bank of the Nile, and there, and his sister stands at a distance to see what would happen to him. And we know that eventually, since I don't have time to tell you, I don't want to take the time this morning to tell you the entire story. Her bold protection of her little boy, which wasn't an easy thing for her to do, is going to wind up blessing an entire nation. One of the earliest roles that a mother plays is the role of protection in the life of a child. I know that a mother can choose in our day and age, and I'm sorry about that, to abort a child just because they don't want the child. yet God gave her the role of protector. Mothers hold the key vote. And so I want to say to you, mothers, teach your children about God's way. Teach them about the idea of protecting and taking care of their children. That's one of the things that I think all of us understand about our mothers. The next one on the list is dedication. I'm going to move rapidly so I can get through each of these points to you today, but Hannah is the woman I chose because she is the woman that was accused of being drunk even though she was praying. Eli thought she'd been too long on the wine. She was mumbling down there and praying, but she was praying for God to send her a child. She was barren. And Hannah's husband's name is Elkanah. And guys, I just want to ask you to take note of this, though it might mean or maybe sometimes make a perfect sense to you to say some of the things that we do. This was not the words of comfort that should have come from his mouth. Her husband would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? The King James says, aren't I better to you than 10 sons? And that wasn't the right way to say that, my folks. She wanted a child. She was asking God to bless her with a child. Oh, my Lord, she says, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood once before you praying to the Lord, and I prayed for this boy. That was Samuel. She dedicated herself to God, and then she dedicated herself to her son, and his dedication, which first resided in his mother, blessed the nation of Israel for many years to come as he served God. He learned his dedication from his mother. Thirdly, Eunice. Eunice is a person of great instruction and influence in the life of a young man by the name of Timothy. He became a Christian under the teaching of the Apostle Paul. And later he was an evangelist to whom the Apostle wrote 2 of his letters to, if you will. And a lot of great instruction are found about that. We don't know a whole lot about Eunice and about Lois, but we do know that she had great, great influence on her son. In 2 Timothy, we read, I'm reminded, Paul says, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He was encouraging the young man to live up to what his mother had influenced him with and to do. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and you have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but my mother taught me so many things. But I thought, what is it that I remember about my mother that stays with me today? And there were several things that came into mind. One of them is that my mother, whenever I made a mistake or did something wrong, my mother said to me, Bobby, you can do better than that. And you know what? She was right about that. It maybe took me a while to figure out that that was where I needed to go. That is, that I needed to go ahead and do better about that. But the real thing that my mother taught me is one I want to share with you very briefly. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse 10. Anybody in here who has never sinned? If you have never sinned, raise your hand. I want everybody to look around. I'm the only one who's got a hand up. That's only for illustration purposes. Okay? My mother tried to help me understand that no one except Jesus was perfect. Okay? Are you on the same page I'm on? When you look around here and you see some of us that are dressed finely like I am in my suit today, you say, that Bob, he's got it all together. There's no bigger lie than there can possibly be. I don't have it all together. Just because I look a certain way while I'm here today, it doesn't matter if I have a suit on or if I'm in my jeans and my shirt. That has nothing to do with what my life is like. My mother instilled in me that Jesus died for me. And that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin. And that I could always be whole in Christ Jesus. I hope that's what your mother taught. If she didn't, hear it from us, the church. No one is without sin. None of us is better than anyone else sitting out here in a pew. We're all in the same boat. We need Jesus Christ and the grace of our Lord, our Heavenly Father, that's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? I hope it stays with you the rest of your life. Lastly, I want to talk to you some about loyalty. When I think about people in the Bible, I think about loyalty belonging to Joseph and Mary, particularly Mary. It's interesting, Tom, the Bible narrative really doesn't tell us much about Joseph after the initial few verses about him. But at the cross, I feel convinced Joseph must have died. I don't imagine that a father would have not been at the cross, but Mary was there. I cannot imagine putting up with or dealing with or having to endure what Mary endured in watching her own son. According to the book of Moses, or the law of Moses, excuse me, the Bible says that Mary took the little baby Jesus to Jerusalem for him to be purified. That was according to what the Bible said. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, wife, Clopas, Mary Magdalene. These were some of the people that were there in the final days. This is recorded for us over in John chapter 19 and verse 25. And they tell us about a mother who was loyal to her child from the very beginning through the crucifixion and through his death. Don't misunderstand that loyalty to grown children does not condone someone being in sin. I'm just trying to say to you that when your children leave your home, they're still your children. I thought sure when ours left that everything was completely different. They come back. Am I right about that? They keep showing up. And I may grumble about it, but I'm glad about it, Tommy. I'm happy that I still have some kind of influence, and I know they come because of this lady, their mother. God bless mothers who protect us, who dedicate us, who teach us and influence us, and who remain loyal for our entire life, no matter what we've done, no matter how everybody else may feel about us. You can count on Mom. God bless you, Mom. And thank you, God, for your plan that we would have mothers. What a marvelous day today. Go and tell your mother, if she's alive, you love her. Tell your wife, you love her for being the mother of your children. Give her the blessing she needs this day. I want to encourage you with the Word of God. I love you. Have a wonderful time with your family. If we can pray with you, encourage you to serve the Lord, which is why we're here today, I invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.